VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
As always, we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk, coming your way from the VCY America Network. Just a couple announcements as we begin today's program. We previously featured Dr. Michael Youssef in an interview here on Crosstalk, and just a reminder, today is March 31st, and today is the final day to obtain his book, Hope for This Present Crisis, 48% off at the VCY bookstore, the website vcy.com, or you may call the bookstore. They're open till 6 p.m. Central Time at 1-888-722-4829. Today, the final day, 1-888-722-4829. Next time, for those listening in the state of Wisconsin, today, just hours earlier, the Wisconsin Supreme Court, on a rule of vote of 4-3, released their decision that Governor Tony Evers exceeded his authority to prolong the public emergency, and they struck down his mask mandate as being unconstitutional. Municipalities may still continue their own mandates, businesses may have their mandates, but once again, the governor has violated the Wisconsin Constitution with his order. Well, now to our topic today. Last week, Monday, a very tragic mass murderer claimed the lives of many, including a police officer at a King Superstore in Boulder, Colorado. It did not take long for legislators to come out and see and make these statements. This is why we need gun control. If only we had common sense gun control, things like this would not happen. Thoughts and prayers are not enough. It's time for action. Well, now in the wake of the shooting, the Biden administration is poised to use this shooting as the very impetus to issue executive orders on the matter of gun control. Joining us today on this and related issues, we welcome back Michael Hammond, Legislative Counsel for Gun Owners of America. Michael, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Jim. Hello, America.
So, Mike, how do you respond to those who indicate this mass shooting in Colorado proves that we need, quote, common sense gun control?
Well, a couple of things. Yeah. First of all, our thoughts and prayers go out to the victims of this horrific shooting. I realize there are some in this country who think it's good politics to mock God. We're not among those. So our thoughts and prayers do go out, and we believe that our prayers will be effectual.
Amen.
The second thing I would say is this. Colorado in 2013 had enacted a bunch of gun control. They had not actually banned semi-autos, but they had banned the magazines, the high-capacity magazines for semi-automatic rifles and handguns. In addition, they instituted these red flag gun confiscation laws, whereby people come around in the middle of the night to raid your house and confiscate your guns. But probably most important for this discussion, they enacted universal gun registration / universal background checks. Now, why is that important? Because it's important because now Joe Biden is coming in and saying, well, the shooting in Boulder tells us that we have to enact universal background checks at a federal level. Well, hold on a minute. If universal background checks were in effect in Boulder for 8 years before the shooting, and they did absolutely no good, why would enacting them again at the federal level have any impact whatsoever? Are you going to put the guy on super secret probation? Frankly, the Boulder shooting, if anything, shows that gun control doesn't work, and in particular, the gun control which they are trying to pass in the Senate and House right now have proven to be demonstrably ineffective in not only the shooting in Boulder, but also the shooting in Georgia, where the guy, the shooter, and I could use his name, but I'm not going to, because that notoriety is what he wants. The shooter, the very day in which he engaged in the shootings, went in, passed a background check, had no problems whatsoever with that background check, got the gun, and then went out and shot up a couple of spas. So the two shootings show us, first of all, that, quote, common sense gun control doesn't work. My law professor used to have a saying. He said, problem with common sense is it's not very common, and sometimes it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, indeed. What is the history of King Soopers in the area of gun control?
The history, I was just going to go into that. I'm glad you asked. King Soopers is ultimately owned by Kroger Company. Gabby Giffords, who's one of the gun control leaders in the country, had spent a long, long time badgering Kroger, who owns King Soopers, into making all of its stores into gun-free zones. Now, ultimately, Kroger gave in to that. King Soopers became a gun-free zone. I assume it had signs saying no guns allowed, although that didn't seem to make a whole lot of difference to the killer. We do know from the Aurora shooting in California, where a shooter shot up a movie theater, that he had first gone to a movie theater that allowed guns. He decided that he didn't want to go into a venue in which someone might have a gun and might shoot back, and so he went to a theater which was a gun-free zone, and that's the one that he shot up. Given this history in Colorado, we have to assume that the fact that King Soopers was a gun-free zone not only didn't prohibit this crime from taking place, in fact, it allowed it. It encouraged it to happen. And all I can say is that the people who thought that they could tell a criminal that he couldn't engage in a small crime when, in fact, he intended to engage in mass murder and thought that would be effective, what could they have been thinking that they thought that would have worked?
Yeah, and I know, Mike, this part is not perhaps your area of expertise, but individuals that warn about Islam, like Pamela Geller, former FBI agent John Guandola, have pointed out that this murder in Boulder was an Islamic State sympathizer. I mean, they kept saying, you know, they're still trying to find a motive in all of this, but why are their hearings needed?
In a tragic, horrific way, ironic, that after spending a week yelling at the shooter in Georgia for the and again, I won't use his name, but claiming that he was a white guy who was killing Asians, lo and behold, you have in Boulder an Asian who kills white guys, and no one says anything about it.
Yeah, Sam. So why are hearings needed on guns, but no hearings on, like, Islamic or jihadic doctrine? I mean, that's kind of interesting. Plus,
the fact that terrorists are streaming across our border, along with fentanyl, along with COVID, and other things that are going to make it much more dangerous. Of course, as you know, Jim, the answer is that the press has a narrative. They want to get rid of guns. They think that if they do, the entire pillar below the Republican Party and the conservative movement is going to collapse. And I'm not sure that that's incorrect. And so for political purposes, they use those facts, which they think will suit their objectives.
Yeah, now let's, about the press itself, the media's coverage of this, I just saw an article from newsbusters.org. They reported that in the aftermath of this shooting in Boulder, the big three, ABC, CBS, NBC, their networked evening and morning news shows depicted Republicans, conservatives, gun owners as a wall of opposition and resistance to common sense gun control measures that would save lives. And then they report in just 4 days of coverage that these networks filled these morning and evening programs with statements favoring gun control over gun rights by a margin of roughly 14 to 1. They spent 36 minutes, 11 seconds arguing in favor of more gun control compared to 2 minutes and 31 seconds devoted supporting gun rights.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, there are very few advantages to being very, very old. But one of them is I've been to this rodeo before. I've seen the massive wall of press coverage that occurred after Columbine, seeing the massive wall that occurred after Virginia Tech, occurred after Newtown, occurred after Parkland. I've seen the magazines publish their black magazine covers, which was supposed to suggest that America had somehow reached a tipping tipping point and that the American people were going to punish anyone who had the nerve of believing that the Constitution means what it says in the Second Amendment. Ironically, of course, the times in which the press tried to turn this into a tipping point in which all America wanted gun control, and after Columbine, actually, they did a poll that showed 70% of Americans wanted all guns banned from civilian hands. Nevertheless, after the semi-automatic ban in 1994, the House of Representatives, for the first time in a generation, went from Democrat to Republican. It was a generational shift. After Columbine, the White House went to George Bush, a Republican, as a result of permanent seismic shifts on the basis of gun control in West Virginia, Kentucky, Arkansas, Tennessee, and the Florida Panhandle. And that was as a result of people fearing that the liberals were coming after their gun rights after Columbine. And this, incidentally, was notwithstanding the fact we succeeded in killing every single word of gun control, which the left tried to push after Columbine. Following Newtown, the same narrative came out. We had these polls showing 93% of North Dakotans wanted gun control. And notwithstanding that, when the Senate killed it, killed every single word of gun control in 2013, in 2014, the Senate went from Democrat to Republican. The left keeps thinking that if it creates this unilateral messaging from its leftist media, that that's somehow going to turn into reality. You know, this is the thing about a pathological liar. He can stare you in the face, and he believes that you believe that he believes that you believe that he believes that what he's saying is true. In fact, it's a lie.
Michael Hammond with us today, Legislative Counsel for Gun Owners of America, the website gunowners.org. Let's talk about the gun or guns that were used by the shooter. What type were they, and is it true that he actually had passed this background check?
Yes. As a matter of fact, the gun owner in Boulder had to pass a background check because, as I said, in 2013, Colorado had enacted universal background checks.
Mm-hmm.
So both of them had passed the background check. Both of them had passed the background check without any problems. And it may be just a coincidence, but the Boulder shooter purchased his gun on the same day that the Atlanta shooter's glossy yearbook picture in color on every major American newspaper. It's as though he had been elected prom king. The picture was so good. And it's probably no coincidence at all that while the Boulder shooter was planning to get his 15 minutes of fame, he was watching in real time as the Atlanta shooter got his 15 minutes of fame.
I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break. We're going to come back to this matter here. How is it the background checks were passed? And also, it's reported that this man, the Boulder shooter, was on the FBI's radar. What happened? We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, where do comets come from?
Chris, the short-period comets, like Halley's Comet, can make only a few trips around the Sun before they completely disintegrate. Yet there are a number of short-period comets. Obviously, to support a billions of years old solar system, evolutionists need an inexhaustible supply of short-period comets. Thus, they had proposed a belt of comets called the Kuiper Belt orbiting the Sun near Neptune. They had no evidence of such a zone of comets, but figured it must be there to salvage their theory. Well, now we have the telescopes and spacecraft able to search this zone, and we've found less than 4% of what they need. Thus, this dreamland of comets needed to salvage Big Bang ideas has been disproved. What hasn't been disproved is the creation story. That's the one that's given back in Genesis.
For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
So is gun control the answer? We're discussing that issue today with Michael Hammond, the Legislative Counsel for Gun Owners of America, here on Crosstalk. Michael, we were talking about the type of gun. We didn't mention the type of gun here yet. Some are disappointed, though, that it was a handgun that was utilized here in that regard, because they wanted this to be some kind of assault weapon. But also, so if you could respond to that, as well as the FBI and their knowledge or having red flags regarding this individual.
Yeah, well, in the broader sense of, quote, assault weapons, the sort of things they want to make illegal, they might have been able to find this as one of those. The thing is that Joe Biden, as soon as this happened, went on the air and said, I want to outlaw AR-15s. And you may remember that Beto O'Rourke, Delphi from Texas, had said something even more profane, which I can't say on this family station, but it was, yeah, sure, we're going to take your guns. Mm. And the gun which he's talking about is very popular because it's easy to carry, it's easy to clean, it has a handle, women in particular like it, but it's used in crime only about 1% of the time. Hmm. So it's irrelevant in terms of being a crime weapon. The reason why it's villainized is because the left can say it looks evil.
Oh, it looks
like a gun which has a much greater firing power. In particular, when I was a younger man, I was in the military, and I was issued an M16. Now, an M16 was an assault weapon, but the reason it was an assault weapon was because the M16 could fire automatically. You pushed the trigger once, and several bursts of fire came out. That's why it was called an assault weapon. By and large, these guns are illegal to own by civilians in America today. Let me say that again. They're illegal. Now, the AR-15 may sort of look like this gun, but when you push the trigger, it fires one bullet, just about like any other gun in existence. And so the left has decided to demonize these guns because they cosmetically look nasty. But what way is that to legislate? You simply decide exactly what theme will go over with a gullible left constituency in the American public. Is that what we're going to make our policy on the basis of? I should say one more thing. That is, during the Rodney King riots in Los Angeles, a bunch of Koreans, they were burning down the town, just as they have more recently, but a bunch of Koreans got on the tops of their shops, and in some cases homes, holding up AR-15s. They didn't have a lot of firing power, but they looked nasty. As a result, their shops were not burnt down. Hmm. At the same time as the entire neighborhood was burnt down, they were saved, their stores were saved, their families were saved. Their families did not die in a fire because they had those big, nasty-looking rifles.
Well, what about the FBI? I mean, it's reported that they were on, this shooter in Colorado was on their radar. Nothing came up, though, as far as saying, hey, better watch this guy. I mean, what do we know about the FBI?
Oh, I suspect that any time the FBI was looked at a Syrian, someone in that organization, which apparently has now become very, very politicized, is going to say, mm-hmm. you're a racist.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, interesting.
I mean, the FBI, as nearly as I can tell, isn't saying anything about the fact that people from, among other places, the Middle East, are now pouring across the border in as part of these hordes of refugees.
And there we're laying out the red carpet.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot more of this. We're going to have a lot more horror in this country. We're inviting it upon ourselves. And there are some things you just look and you can foresee what's going to happen.
Yeah, what a tragedy. Mike, despite all of this, there is a push, as you know, going on for the Senate to act on H.R. 8 and H.R. 146. You discussed these a few weeks ago here on this program, but these bills have enacted, just to be certain, they would not have stopped this from taking place,
no.
would they?
No, I won't discuss them in detail again because I have before. But basically, H.R. 8 is the same bill that was enacted in Colorado in 2013. Guess what? It didn't do any good to stop the Boulder shooter from acquiring the type of firearm he wanted. So the question is if insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result, why would passing the same bill at the federal level that existed in Colorado and didn't do any good whatsoever, why would that make any difference?
Yeah, yeah. But any idea what's happening with the Senate on those two bills?
Yes, they are currently sitting in the Senate, waiting for action. Chuck Schumer has threatened to destroy the filibuster in order to pass his whole agenda. They include not only comprehensive gun control, mm-hmm. and I assume that will be massive gun bans, but also H.R. 1,
yep.
which would make it very difficult for a Republican to ever be elected in America again. You'd set up the situation where you have in California, in which ballots are sent out to everyone in the state whom they can locate, including illegal aliens. The homeless people are hired by the Democratic Party to go around in poor neighborhoods and collect those ballots. They take them into election headquarters. They fill them out for the candidates of their choice, and guess who that is? And after they've filled them out, they drop them off into an unattended drop box.
Yeah.
So suffice it to say that if California, I was around when I worked for a conservative Republican California senator, S.I. Hayakawa, from 78 through 1984. And within 2 years after that, Ronald Reagan signed the amnesty bill, the Simpson-Mazzoli amnesty bill, giving 3 million illegals citizenship, mostly in California, and it so changed the demographics there that in most major elections now in California, there's not even a Republican in the general election. There's a liberal Democrat versus another liberal Democrat. So if people want the entire country to look like California now looks, they can support H.R. 1. In addition, there's 4 million amnesty bill, two amnesty bills with probably a collective 4 million people granting amnesty sitting there in the Senate waiting for action. There's D.C. statehood, there's Puerto Rican statehood, there's packing the Supreme Court, there's the Green New Deal, and go right down right down the list of every crazy agenda item.
Indeed, H.R. 5, the so-called Equality Act, and so forth, if that filibuster goes. Now, in addition to not only these pieces that are sitting in the Senate right now, the White House, even this week, is giving signals that President Biden is looking at taking executive action on gun control. What do you anticipate?
There's some good news on that. The good news is this. We thought what he was going to try to do is declare these AR-15s, and there are about 15 million of them, most popular gun in America, declare them machine guns. And if they were declared machine guns, first of all, you'd probably have yours taken away until you passed a year-long background check. You'd pay a gigantic tax for it. You might not pass a background check at all, and you would be part of a massive gun registry. And guess what? Next year, you're going to have to apply for another license to have your gun, which you already own. So we thought that's the direction he was going to go. His precedent for that would be the Trump action declaring bump stocks, that is a piece of foam rubber and plastic, declaring bump stocks as a machine gun. If you could declare bump stocks as a machine gun, you could declare the AR-15 rifle as a machine gun. This past week in the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals in Cincinnati, we won our case to declare the bump stock ban unconstitutional. And so that means that this route, which Biden was very seriously considering going, may be foreclosed.
Wow. I understand also, though, that the Biden administration is also now wanting police nationwide to have the power to seize weapons even without a warrant.
Yeah. Well, that certainly would be the case under red flag laws. I mean, he's not the first one who's gotten that idea. About 20 states have now passed legislation allowing someone to fill out an affidavit in the dead of night. And the next thing that happens is the police show up at your house at 3 o'clock in the morning in order to confiscate your guns, raid your house, and, if you resist, to kill you. And that's happened in, for instance, Ferndale, Maryland, with Gary Willis, a 62-year-old black man who was shot to death because he had some reservations about police bursting in his house in the middle of the night and confiscating his guns.
A very interesting story came out Monday from the New York Post, and it was about a New York City teenager, an alleged gang member, but the issue is he was repeatedly cut loose despite five gun busts. I mean, after four previous offenses, he was allowed to walk free, Mike, and then finally after the fifth arrest, the judge took him into custody. And people wonder, why are these shootings happening? Why are we putting individuals like this right back on the street? No holding of them, detention of them when they've already been proven that they're the bad guy in the street, but no bail, just go ahead and go walk again.
Yeah, and the same was true, of course, with Nicholas Cruz, or I violated my own rule there, with the Parkland shooter, and with respect to the Syrian shooter in Colorado, I have now heard that he ran into trouble with the police and was out on the street without any indication that he had been in trouble as a result of Obama-era policies intended to set loose youth out on the street without consequences for their dangerous actions.
Mike, are there other key issues you're watching in the courts right now?
Yes, there is another key issue. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, let me call them the Crazy Circuit, has just handed down a decision with respect to Hawaii saying that the Second Amendment doesn't give you a right to own a gun anywhere except in your house.
Oh, my.
You can keep a gun in your house. Maybe you can shoot a burglar if he tries to come through. You can't take one out on the street. You can't take one to your business. You can't have one in your car. You can't get a permit unless you're rich and famous and have a cadre of armed guards. If you're a very famous person and very important, quote-unquote, maybe you can get a gun to protect yourself. Otherwise, if you're just a black man in a very, very dangerous neighborhood who needs to protect their family in view of the fact that Black Lives Matter has cut off police support for him, then you're out of luck. Your life doesn't, in fact, matter.
Wow. We're going to take a quick break here. Michael Hammond, our guest. Folks, we're opening our phone lines. If you have a question or a brief comment on this issue, here as we're talking about Second Amendment issues, is gun control the answer? Taking your questions today, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Michael Hammond with us from gunowners.org. Back in a minute.
Skeptics and critics understand the magnitude of the resurrection. They have developed numerous theories in their desperate attempts to explain away the wealth of evidence. Early Christians consistently emphasized Christ's conquering of death. Yet many in the church today only discuss this vital doctrine at Easter time, and some fail to mention it entirely when attempting to share the gospel with unbelievers. In the book, In Defense of Easter, author Tim Chafee has written a biblical apologetic that teaches readers how history supports the resurrection, why skeptical explanations come up short, and how the resurrection is a source of comfort. This book clearly affirms the power of the resurrection and why remembering the resurrection is not limited to a single day on the calendar. In Defense of Easter is available for a donation of $13 or more to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829.
Our lines are packed here today on Crosstalk. We'll be taking your calls momentarily. As soon as you hear somebody hang up with their question or comment, that will indicate to you that that line is open. Mike, just before we pick up the first caller here, just give us a word about Gun Owners of America.
Gun Owners of America is a collection of 2 million law-abiding gun owners who pooled their resources for a no-compromise approach to the Second Amendment. Our website is gunowners.org. That's gunowners, G-U-N-O-W-N-E-R-S, .org.
Let's begin by going to a caller in Colorado. Hi, caller. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you, Jim. Michael, I appreciate your program today.
Thank you.
The thing that I have in mind was this fellow being a Muslim and not any notoriety. I never even knew it until today in the newspaper. He was Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
What did you suppose it cost the Democratic Party to give him that weapon and put him in that Kroger store in Boulder? Any thoughts on that?
Okay, so the caller is asking, was this a setup for him to do that? Is that what you're asking, caller?
Yes, Jim, I am.
Okay.
Well, in a very, very broad sense, I think it was. When we are talking to these troubled young people who are looking to get their 15 minutes of fame, and I think people can understand it. If there's one thing in common for every single shooting, it's that they want attention, they want their 15 minutes of fame, they sometimes have drug problems, they certainly don't have a religious grounding, but to say to him, yeah, here's a sign, you can fire, even though there's a 51-year-old policeman here, you can fire all you want, you can get your attention, there's no chance that anyone will fire back. In a very, very, very broad sense, I think you are inviting him to do something horrific, which I think otherwise he wouldn't have done.
Thank you for the call. I guess case in point would be the theater shooter. As you indicated, he went to one theater that allowed for carrying firearms,
yep.
and he chose, no, I don't want to be here. I want to go someplace where they're banned, and that's where he did it.
It's not even clear anyone in that first theater had a gun, but he knew they could have a gun.
Right. Anna is calling from Watertown, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Anna.
Hi, Anna.
Anna, are you with us?
Yes, I am here.
Okay.
Thank you so much. I just have a question about my concealed carry license. Is there a website for the Castle? Is it called Castle Domain?
Castle
Doctrine?
Yes,
there are a number of websites that go state by state through states that have a Castle Doctrine. As I remember, Wisconsin does have one.
Right.
A doctrine which will allow people, particularly in their own homes, when they're confronting a person committing a felony, to fire.
Mm-hmm. That was passed under the Walker administration. Mm-hmm.
Great. Would there be a website? Is that under Gun Owners of America that I could find out?
Yeah, if you want to send an email to us at Gun Owners of America, I'll probably ultimately answer that. But I will refer you to this book, I think, which is published by an organization which channels the gun laws of the 50 states. The short answer is yes, you do have a Castle Doctrine in Wisconsin.
Great. And the name of the book again, please?
I think it's the Gun Laws of the Gun Travel Laws of the 50 States or something like that. If you email it to us, I will probably ultimately get it, and I'll give you the precise name.
Okay. God bless. Thank you.
God bless.
Thank you, Anna. We've got Alan calling from Maryland. You're on the air.
Oh, yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call today, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to talk about the Joe Biden. His administration is just kind of ruining our country, I think, with these gun regulations they're trying to get into. It seems like they want to even confiscate people's guns and they want to get rid of your Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. I think it's a total disgrace. I think it's, you know, anti-God. And, you know, we just got to be careful because, you know, you need to keep the guns in the hands of the good people, but
yeah.
You get them away from the bad people. I mean, it's not like the way Joe Biden wants to do.
Yeah.
He wants to even take the guns away even from good, moral, decent people. And, you know, I don't think that's the right thing to do. Let me hear your comment about it. What do you think?
Great.
I agree
Thank
with
you.
That. The pro-gun areas of the country, not surprisingly, in many cases, are the places which have a great amount of faith. By and large, have very, very permissive gun laws. By and large, they're the safest places in the country. Where I'm sitting right now in New Hampshire, you would be more likely to be mauled by a moose than you would be to be killed by a firearm. And it's the states that have no gun rights whatsoever, that such as Maryland, I hate to say, and particularly Baltimore, that are shooting galleries.
Wow. Thank you for the call, Alan. Let's go to Dan, calling from Wisconsin. You're on the air, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Yeah, Mike, thank you. Thank you for all the hard work you do. I really do appreciate it. What do you know about these ghost guns? You know, I heard Chuck Schumer introduce them to the media, and also President Biden.
Yeah.
What it is, it's a gun kit, and from what I understand, it's the same
yeah.
as me going in and buying a pistol or buying a rifle. I have to go through the background check. But this is another way that they're trying to destroy our rights to own firearms.
Thank
what do you know about it?
I would never use the term ghost guns. I mean, that's like assault weapons. That's another of those crazy nomenclatures come up by the left to make owning firearms look scary. I mean, because they're like scary ghosts. But, in fact, they're self-made firearms. If you put together your own firearm, and I can't think of any case in which a self-made firearm, normally made by, you know, honest workers in places like New Hampshire, I can't think of any place in which one of these self-made firearms has been used in any crime whatsoever. But the other thing is, for a long time, BATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, has taken the position that there are things which are firearms and there are things which are not firearms. 80% receivers, which is 80% of part of a gun, is not a firearm, for instance. Now they're trying to reverse that and all of a sudden hold that all of these firearms put together or owned by Americans are suddenly illegal. And guess what? When they confiscate them, they're not going to let you keep them and they're not going to pay you for them.
Hmm.
Hmm. Thank you. Thank you for all the work you do.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
Edward is next. Edward, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm wondering about the issue of revitalizing the militia. I know Edward Vieira Jr. put in a fair amount of time writing a book about it not terribly long ago. And why is anybody calling for that besides him?
Yes and no. I just answered an email today from someone who said, "What do you feel about the militia?" Yeah, we support the militia. We certainly support those people around the country that want to organize, want to teach people the safe and effective use of firearms and call themselves the militia. We do believe this, that the Heller case made it lawful to own a firearm irrespective of any membership in the militia. So we don't want to say to people, you have to join a militia so you can have a firearm. But if people want to join a militia so they can fraternize or train or teach young people to use firearms, we're all for that.
Thank you, Edward. We've got Jason next in Dodgeville. Jason, you're on the air.
Hi, Jason.
Yes. Hey, how are you doing today?
Good.
I was wondering if he had any information, if he did any research back in the Sandy Hook incident. Originally, I had heard that, you know, like on day one, that he had an AR-15, but it was in the trunk. And then all of a sudden, it worked its way into the building somehow. I was wondering if there was if he had any factual information on what went on there.
We had heard that's the same thing we had heard. But in fairness, I mean, the police, by and large, pretty much set on information with respect to Sandy Hook. So there's a lot of stuff we don't know about it, and I don't I wouldn't even speculate on it, except to say the following. Here's another example of a kid who sat in his mother's basement, probably was addicted to Adderall and didn't pass a background check, but got his guns by killing his mother. Here's another guy who basically went into a gun-free school zone, the school, which was apparently heavily reinforced, and yet it didn't stop him from entering the school and shooting up the place. Here's a guy whose picture was plastered all over the country, and I think liberals understand, if they don't necessarily want, that that is going to lead to copycat killers.
Holly is next. Hi, Holly. You're on the air.
Hey, I had a question for your guest here. After this Boulder shooting, a friend of mine who's generally a conservative gal, we were chatting, and she was discussing how it's too easy for people to obtain a weapon and kind of buying into this liberal narrative and these bills, which we know go way beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was curious, because we were kind of discussing the numbers, and I was pretty sure I'd recently heard that mass shootings and terrorists generally aren't registered gun owners. Do you have the stats to that, or know where I can find that data?
I couldn't give you the stats. I think right off the top of my head, I know that in Chicago, an overwhelming number, perhaps well over 50% of the shootings in that city, and it certainly is probably up above 500 this year, people acquire those guns illegally off the streets. If you send us an email, then we can probably dredge them up without any difficulty. But Chicago, Baltimore, New York, we do know that a majority of people who use firearms in those shooting galleries just get them illegally.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you, Holly. Yeah, so go to gunowners.org, and you'll find a contact button. And when you do there is a email form that you can utilize to send your question in there to get more specifics.
Yes.
Thank you for the call. Jim is next. Hi, Jim. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim.
Hello. I was just wanting to let everybody know, from what I understand, Congress is on a two-week recess right now, so they may be home in their own districts, mm-hmm. So it might be a good time for us as constituents to find out if they're having town hall meetings or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Make contact with them face to face and let them know what we feel about these bills.
Yeah,
absolutely, good idea.
Thank you, Jim, for that. Let me just mention with that as well that if you go to senate.gov or house.gov and you click on your legislator, you'll find their district phone numbers as well. So I know often there's a lot of calls that go into Washington, D.C., but it means something additionally when those calls are going into those district phone offices as well and say, hey, back home here, we're getting calls about this. And I think that's important as well for congressmen and senators to know, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you go onto our website, we also have alerts which describe each of these bills and also provide a sample communication that you can just push a button and send it in to your senators or representative, and you can alter that any way you want.
Great. Well, we'll come back to more of your phone calls here on Crosstalk. Our guest today is Michael Hammond, who is the Legislative Counsel for Gun Owners of America. And we're talking about the Boulder shooting and others and asking the question, is gun control the answer? We'll come back to more of your calls here at 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website, worldviewreport.com. Wisconsin is ground zero in a battle over the Constitution, so writes one author, and he's right. And what it's about? A constitutional convention, a con-con, or maybe they've come up with a new name to confuse people, an Article 5 convention. Call it what you want. It's dangerous. My friend, the late Phyllis Schlafly, well, I interviewed her many times about the dangers of a constitutional convention. The so-called conservatives or neocons pushing this, and there are many of them, they think that they can open up the Constitution and put in the amendments they want and stop the progressives and Marxists and globalists from adding on to the Constitution. That's absolutely 100% wrong. And folks, you'd be shocked at who's promoting this idea. Well, in Wisconsin, It's Senate Joint Resolution 8 and Assembly Joint Resolution 9. Maybe you want to let your elected officials in Wisconsin know. No. All they got to do is get a number of states to agree to this, and we've got a constitutional convention, and they can destroy the Constitution.
The program you're listening to is Crosstalk. It comes your way each day at the same time on the VCY American Network, 2 Central, 3 Eastern, noon Pacific time. Thank you for joining us. We're going, especially welcome those listening to us now in Las Vegas as well, listening to this VCY America formatted station, and thank you so very much. Let's go to Dave in Wisconsin. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Hi, Dave.
Good afternoon, Jim. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Thank you for all that you do. I have a question in regards to if your organization works closely with county sheriffs.
Yes,
and
we do.
Local police chiefs, and how do they respond to your organization?
Very well. I myself drafted a template for the Second Amendment protection zones. And what that is it, the local legislature passes an ordinance saying none of our employees or officers can enforce an unconstitutional law.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clearly constitutional for them to do that under the Prince case. They can't be conscripted to enforce federal laws without their permission. Over 1,000 counties, cities, municipalities, and now states have enacted legislation along those lines.
Bill is our next caller from Phoenix, Arizona. Bill, you're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. Hi, Mike. Hey, I got a question about other weapons. You know, if somebody has a Chevrolet and they drive their Chevrolet into a crowd of people and they kill a bunch of people, are they going to take our Chevrolet away or are they going to just take all our cars?
Yeah.
That's a very good point. I think it signifies that the game here is not safety. The game here is destroying the base of the conservative movement in America, which the other side, I think, correctly believes is the Second Amendment movement.
That's a good
point,
Bill.
The whole Constitution of the United States is underneath attack, and we just got to get together as maybe at the local level with our sheriffs, like I heard the last caller. If we would have still had Sheriff Joe here in Maricopa County, the vote would have been way different here.
Yeah.
So
I think in New Mexico, a majority of our county sheriffs are now Second Amendment sanctuary jurisdictions. And the governor is whining, and the Democrat governor is whining and complaining that, no, they can't refuse to enforce these laws, but they are.
Hmm. Thank you, Bill.
Right. And we have a Democratic sheriff in this county now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bill. Let's go to Tom in Port Wing. You're on the air. That's Port Wing, Wisconsin.
Correct. I have a question in regards to the Boulder, Colorado shooter. I've noticed a pattern of a certain group of people that do shootings, and then the family feigns mental illness.
Yeah.
And I would like a comment on that, and I think it would be easily investigated to see if the family received some gratuities from some of these organizations for sacrificing a family member.
Well, what I remember, and there have been some articles on this, that, for instance, the shooter in Newtown had been on Adderall. I think there is a pattern here of an individual who, in my time he would have been diagnosed with spanking deficit disorder, but increasingly he's put on addictive drugs, which I think began to take him down that road. And under some circumstances, particularly when he has no real contact with society, that for some reason or another cracks. And it normally cracks right after there's been another shooter who he has completely fantasized about.
Thank you, Tom. We're going to Andrew in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. You're on the air, Andrew.
Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good afternoon. I just think that this gun control stuff is not a matter of guns, which are inanimate, without a user, it's a behavior problem. And, you know, and for those of us who are believers, you know, it's a sin problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, for everybody listening to this program today who either owns firearms or uses them, this all of this business is all of the more reason to use and behave with our guns properly the way they were intended, and to exercise safety and shooting etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you, Andrew. Great points.
Thank you, Andrew.
Appreciate it. Bruce in Viroqua, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi, Bruce.
Yeah, good afternoon. My house broke into a couple years ago, and guns were stolen, and one of them was a .22 rifle with suppressor that I purchased legally. Mm-hmm. And about 2 weeks later, the good work with the sheriff's department, they recovered my guns, and I got the gun with the suppressor back, which the people that took it tried to grind the numbers off. And yeah. I brought this to the attention of the court system and the sheriffs and everyone that you have to have a permit to have that suppressor. Mm-hmm. And absolutely nothing was done or even brought up in the court case when they finally went to trial.
Mm. Yeah. We're actually working to change that. Suppressor is the same as a machine gun for purposes of the National Firearms Act.
Well, well, thank you, Bruce.
Yeah, thank you.
And let's squeeze one last call in. Brad in West Dallas, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. Just want to remind everybody, self-defense, and in our country, the Second Amendment, is a God-given right. Not only is it God-given, it is labeled as inalienable. That means anybody who tries to steal it away, like our illegitimate government, is not valid. And when they talk about saving lives, get that right out of your mind. They couldn't care less about saving lives. I give you abortion, infanticide, where they murder the baby right after birth, euthanasia, and now the vaccines. COVID, people are taking that thing and dropping dead. They want us disarmed because they don't want to get shot when they pull their shenanigans.
Right on.
Thank you, Brad, for the call. We're down to 30 seconds. What do you want to leave with our listeners here, Michael?
Just log on to our website at gunownerspurit.org, gunowners, G-U-N-O-W-N-E-R-S, purit.org.
Great. Michael, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
And friends, a reminder, you can be in contact with your senators or those pressuring them to pass legislation already done so in the House. The main Senate switchboard number is 202-224-3121. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on Crosstalk.
Listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.